Welcome to the Inner and Outer Game, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you, amazing speaker, Miss Tina Greenbaum. Tina, why don't you take it from here?
All right, and thank you, Tanya. So I'm starting the day of this summit, and I think for a pretty good reason, because I look at the inner game. I'm an inner game specialist. I'm going to start out by telling you a little bit of a story, and then I'll weave into some of the things that I want to give you some tips and how to avoid some of the mistakes that I have made. So this was about my second or third speech at my Toastmasters group, and I was in a group in New York City that met at the New York Bar Association. And the New York Bar Association, when you walked into the building, was just a beautiful building with lots of marble and stairs. And you would walk into the room that we would speak at, and I just want to set the stage for you. It was one of those rooms with portraits along the wall and this very, very big, long wooden table and leather chairs. And you would come in, and when you were a speaker there, you felt very important. You know, you wanted to dress nicely and present yourself really well. So this was maybe the second or third speech, and it was the first one that I was doing without notes. Because in Toastmasters, they recommend that after a few speeches that you begin to start to work a little more professionally and without notes. And they also suggest that you memorize your beginning paragraph, your opening, and you memorize your ending, and then in between, you know your speech, but you have sort of work with bullet points, and that you are more, just like I am right now, a little bit more extemporaneously, but you know what you're going to talk about. So I followed the instructions, and the night before, days before, I practiced, and I had my opening, and I had my closing, and I knew where I was going. But the night before my speech, I didn't like my opening so well, and I decided to make some changes. Big mistake. But I get there the next day, and they introduce me, and again, it's a very sort of formal setting, and I, Miss Tina Greenbaum, and I come up to the podium, and I take my time, and I look around, and I smile at everybody, and blank. Absolutely, positively blank. I couldn't remember one thing. This is a speaker's worst nightmare. And as we know, there's so many people who are petrified of speaking. Kind of it goes up there with death. But I wasn't so scared of speaking. And I know I'm speaking today to a bunch of people who are professional speakers or wannabe speakers. But this is still somebody's worst nightmare, is to forget exactly what you're doing. Well, what I did at the time, now this was a friendly crowd. This was a learning experience. And I just kind of stopped dead in my tracks. And I looked around and I smiled at everybody. And then I said, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to start over. And I took a few moments, and then it started to come to me, and I got started a little stiltingly, and then I went on. Well, that was fine in a situation that was a learning experience, but if you were paying me a couple of $1,000s or more to speak professionally, I don't think that would be too exciting. I don't think people would be too excited with me. So I want to kind of look at why this happened from a little bit of a clinical point of view, because I'm a psychotherapist by training, and look at some of the neuroscience, some of the brain things that happen, and look at so why it happened, how to prevent it from happening, but sometimes maybe we can't prevent it from happening, and what would happen, what would I do if it happened again? So let's look at first why this happened. Well, when we memorize something, we're learning something. We're going through a learning process. And when you go through a learning process, there's a bunch of things that happen. Think again of just driving a car. In the beginning, when we're driving, we're very clumsy. We're very much into our conscious mind. And we don't have a neural pathway. We don't have a memory kind of track to take us and take us down a path where we can go into sort of the unconscious. So this begins as a left brain function. And so we learn something, we learn one line, and then I think of learning sort of like laying down tracks, laying down layers. So I learn the beginning, and then I come back and I do the beginning, and then the next line, and then I do the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until it begins to start to move from, the left brain side to into memory, into the right part of the brain. I'm going to tell you an interesting study that I think about this over and over again when I'm learning something new. And this was a study of skydivers. And what they were doing was they were measuring the level of anxiety, the level of stress that new skydivers would experience versus experienced skydivers. And so they put, electrodes and all kinds of things on their brains and on their body to measure the level of stress they were experiencing from doing this activity as being a skydiver. Well, what they discovered was that both the experienced and the inexperienced, had the same measure of stress as they were going up in the plane. So this is sort of the pre-performance, if you think about it, the pre-performance. That many times we are stressed and we just kind of know that that's part of the experience. But what they found was, so they were the same when they came up into the plane and when they were putting on their packs and getting ready. But as soon as they started to really prepare to leave the plane, the inexperienced skydivers, their measurement went up, their stress level went up. And the experienced skydivers, their level of stress went down. So what does this have to do with speaking? Well, when we practice something and we're learning something new and we practice it over and over and over and over again, we begin to start to have the experience where we're not thinking so much. And so it goes into the right brain and the right brain and goes into muscle memory, it goes into the creative side of us, and then the sort of like driving the car, we just kind of go into automatic. So when we're learning something, when we're learning a speech and we're learning something new in the beginning, if we want to memorize it, we want to practice it over and over and over and over and over again, we begin to create this neural pathway. And so that when we get under pressure, because my specialty is called mastery under pressure, when we get under pressure, the part of us that has practiced is there for us. And so we can begin to learn to trust that that memory is there. Hope this makes sense. So why this happened to me? I changed what I had learned, and so that it wasn't deeply embedded in me. And when I got under pressure, I didn't have enough practice under my belt that I could count on it. So that's my understanding in terms of why this happened to me. So how to prevent it? Well, the way that I would prevent it is I would make sure that the night before I didn't change anything. If I were going to make some changes, they would have to be made, a day or so before if I were going to memorize it. So that, again, that I could depend on myself when I'm under the pressure. All right? And so that would be the best way that I would prepare for it. But what would happen if it happened again? Well, there's some other tips that I want to give you that if it happens to you, that you kind of lose your place, you lose focus. I'm going to tell you a couple different things. One of the first things that I would do is I would take a deep breath. Now, again, we know that most of us, we talk about breathing and it relaxes you. But again, let me explain a little bit deeper, hopefully. Maybe some of you know this and maybe some of you don't. When we use our breath is the only thing that we have voluntarily that can change our nervous system. So there's many things that happen in the body that we have that happen involuntarily. You know, our heart beats and we're breathing and we're doing all kinds of mechanisms that we don't really have any control over. But we do have control of our breath. And our breath connects to both the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. So when we're under stress, the sympathetic nervous system is the one that kicks in. And the stress hormones begin to start to flood the brain and the body. And they get us ready for fight, flight, or actually freeze. So when we're giving a presentation, we want to have maybe a little bit of adrenaline going that keeps us going, but we certainly don't want our body and our brain flooded with it. Because when that happens, all the blood goes to the heart. And so, and I don't know if you've ever experienced a panic attack or high anxiety where your hands begin to start to lose sensation. And we don't think very clearly because, again, all the blood is going to the heart and getting it ready to run if there's danger. So what happens to us if we're under a lot of pressure and we forget our speech and we lose our thoughts because now the brain is not functioning at high function? So we take a breath, we begin to start to bring the oxygen and the blood through the body back into the brain so that we can think more clearly. I want to add something here about we don't want to just use the breath when we need it in times of stress. We want to prepare the body beforehand. So again, we started out talking about what would I do to prepare. I want to prepare my body to be able to manage my stress level at a much calmer level. So how do I do that? Well, if you do your breathing exercises, maybe every morning, every night, two or three times a day, at least once a day for 5 minutes or so, you begin to start to train the body and the nervous system to calm down on a regular basis. Now, how cool would that be to just be nice and calm and cool and collected most of the time so that when you get under pressure, you already have a nice big stress buffer. So you may not go off the charts and then completely lose your concentration. So that's one thing I would do. That's the first thing I would do is to take a breath. The second thing, well, maybe actually first, I would pause. I would just pause for a moment and give my brain and my body a chance to reconnect. Because when we're speaking really from our hearts and we're really great, great speakers, our energy is in our body. And when we get under pressure and we lose that connection, the brain and the body, the mind and the body are not very well connected. So we want to bring the brain and the body back together again so that we can kind of then take off. Now, my friend Elizabeth is going to talk to you in a little while about some of the other things, the outer part of speaking. But this is where we connect the mind and the body. We want them to connect. So we're going to take a pause. You can smile. You can look around. You can give yourself a chance to gather yourself again. You can take your breath, and the next thing you want to do is you want to find your feet. Now, why do I say that? Well, again, because when we're under stress, the energy leaves us. It goes, excuse me, up into our head, and we're disconnected. Excuse me. So if we want to bring ourselves, our body and our mind back together again, we take that pause, we take a breath, and then we find our feet. Okay, just like I'm pausing right now. And then what we can do, because we have practiced so much, I call it, I put in a request. I just ask my brain to just give me the next piece of information. And if you have studied well enough, that information will be there for you. So this is the first part of kind of what I want to talk about today. So again, we're going to find your feet, you're going to pause, and you're going to take a breath. Next thing I want to kind of look at is the concept of focus. And this relates again to this left side of the brain and the right side of the brain, and how we create the best possible situation for ourselves when we're making a presentation or anything that you want to do well. So let's imagine that we have two boxes in front of us, two square boxes or rectangular boxes. Okay, and the left side represent the conscious mind. We're going to make two distinctions. So I have one box that has, and the conscious mind is finite. It only holds so much information at a time. So let's imagine we want to make a really great presentation. And what are the things that go into a great presentation? Well, we talked about just actually in the presentation itself. So some of the things that we speakers think about is eye contact. I want to connect to my audience. So I want to gaze at people a little bit at a time. I don't want to over gaze because then we'll scare people and we'll think that we're crazy. But I want to kind of use my gaze, connect with people. So that's one thing, eye contact. Another thing that we want to be conscious of is our body. Where are we on the stage? How do we move our body? How do we move our arms? Are we over gesture, we're using our arms too much that people are getting distracted by us? So that's another thing that we want to remember. We want to remember to come from our hearts. Okay, remember again that if I'm a speaker and I want to connect to my audience and I want to connect to myself and what I'm giving, I want to connect to my heart. And so those are three things that if I were really good, making a really good presentation, those are the tasks that I would think about when I'm giving my speech. And if I filled my conscious mind, because that's the only thing I have any control over, my conscious mind, if I fill my whole conscious mind with all that information, then I am very likely to give a very good speech. So I keep my focus on the tasks at hand. Now let's imagine that we're moving over to this other square, or other rectangular that I described. This is also a representation of the conscious mind. And I start out kind of going back to what my presentation of, I forgot my speech. So here I have this limited amount of conscious mind to work with, and I start out with, oh my God, I can't believe that I forgot that. Well, now I've used up maybe a quarter of my ability to have a great presentation. And then I start to think about, I suck. Oh my God, they're going to make fun of me or they're going to laugh at me or whatever. Now I've used up at least half of my ability to have a really good presentation. And then, I haven't practiced very well and my body's all over the place and I'm feeling uncomfortable on the stage. And then now I've used up three quarters. And then I start to notice that, gosh, people are looking at their phone. They're not paying attention to me. Maybe I'm boring. Well, what do you think my presentation is like now? I have given up 100% of the focus and the ability that I have to make a good presentation. So when we're doing something that we want to perform our best, because again, we're talking about mastery under pressure, how do I perform my very best? I want to focus on those tasks that will give me the best possible presentation that I could possibly make. And I hope you see how this can relate to not only your speaking, but anything that you do in your life that you want to do well. The great athletes and the great performers, they have these mental skills right at their fingertips. And so we talked a little bit about focus. We talked a little bit about relaxation. We talked a little bit about negative self-talk and what that does to a presentation if we get lost in questioning and doubting ourselves. And then we can also look at what do I do when I'm scared? Okay, if I'm scared to make this presentation, I'm scared that I'm not going to do well. If we come back to these boxes and we think about, okay, what makes a good presentation? I might be scared, my anxiety might be up, but I know what I need to do in order to do my best, so I'm going to focus on these things. And then lastly, what also makes a great presentation is visualization. Taking some time before you get to do your speech and imagine what you want to create. Imagine how you want to feel. Imagine giving your speech, giving your offer if you're giving an offer. Practicing coming from your heart before you even get out on the stage. So you will set yourself up in the best possible way to have these mental skills right at your fingertips so you make the best presentation you possibly can. So I hope this helps. These are little bits and pieces of a program that I teach called Mastery Under Pressure. And you can find me at tinagreenbaum.com or tina@tinagreenbaum.com. And I hope that you will take these skills and do something wonderful with them and know that I'm here if you ever have any questions. I love helping people. Thanks so much.